This is the Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Very good afternoon to Jeff Halley in Singapore. Jeff, it looks like buying's back, doesn't it? But then again, buying might not be back tomorrow. Is it just a bit of a hopeful noise? Is it also about a bit of portfolio rebalancing, I'm guessing, towards the end of the month?
Yeah, it's the end of the quarter and the end of the month, and we do see a lot of institutional rebalancing of portfolios going on in these this time period. I suspect that's what initially started the rally in the stock markets overnight, and what we've seen is a lot of short-term money jumping onto that rally, pushing stock markets higher, buying dips of bombed-out shares, particularly airlines, and then fitting the news stories to justify the move afterwards. But I think this is more just a technical move, and we definitely still have downside risks this week.
Is the first presidential debate that we're going to get today in our time this evening in the United States worthy of the markets looking at? They're going to be able to glean anything from it, or is it just going to be the usual? Well, so not the usual, because it's not usual, but the expected tit for tat exchanges.
I think with the debate, normally the first presidential debate is the most closely watched one, and it has the most direct impact on the elections, and in this case, in early November when that occurs. So yes, the markets will be watching it. We will probably have a much clearer idea afterwards from the initial polling whether Mr. Biden has held his lead over President Trump across the United States, and that will give us a lot more insight, I feel, into the likely outcome of the election in early November. So definitely some market-moving volatility to happen there. Okay.
That might give us an indication in the way that the voters are going to go. But in terms of policy, both have been, I mean, obviously Trump's been in power and Joe Biden hasn't, but both are approaching this, it seems to me, relatively policy light, particularly Joe Biden, for all obvious reasons. What kind of clues are you looking for from these two that might give you an idea of the shape of the United States should either one of them win?
For a start, Mr. Biden has signaled that there will be higher taxes and that they will be spending in a New Deal style to pivot the United States to renewable energies, and will be spending on infrastructure. So Mr. Biden's definitely taking a Roosevelt style New Deal approach to lifting the US out of this COVID-19 downturn. Mr. Trump will, of course, counter that by saying that he will put more money in Americans' pockets by cutting taxes, red tape, big government, etc., etc. I believe the market is much more comfortable now with the Biden presidency than they were, and that Mr. Trump is a known quantity. It'll be interesting to see what their respective positions will be on China, though.
What's extraordinary is that this stimulus package has still not been agreed, has it? And I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing that there isn't much incentive really to get anything agreed now, because these election concerns are going to weigh quite heavily on American politicians. If Biden were to get in, do you feel as though we might more likely get a kind of stimulus package? Because the latest was that they were sort of a few trillion apart, basically, weren't they? Which doesn't sound a lot. I mean, it does sound a lot, but actually, probably given the way that discussions take place, is not that far. Or is it, in your view?
Well, the Democrats, and I will note that appropriation bills have to originate in the House of Representatives, and that is controlled by the Democrats, hence they're the ones making all the running. The latest perception is that the package they're proposing is around $1.5 trillion. I don't think that'll be a pill that the Republicans can swallow at this stage. Unfortunately, I guess in many ways, the U.S. data, economic data, has held up very well. And so the urgency from the Republican side is not as much as it would have been, despite the fact that just about every Fed governor and president has said there needs to be more fiscal stimulus over the past week. So I think if we saw a very poor non-farm payrolls on Friday, that might give a bit of a prod to the Republican side, because right, if the economy turns down, that would be vote threatening.
Let's turn our attention to the big events this week. It's a sort of lopsided one, really, isn't it? Because China is basically on holiday Thursday, Friday. But we are going to get some PMIs from them. Let's talk about those. First of all, given the figures that we got over the weekend, it does look as though some kind of recovery is taking place, even though industrial production is still in negative territory.
Yes, but I guess with the industrial production, it is showing a very positive upward trend from its lows, and I think that's what the markets are concentrating on. I would fully expect that the PMI data that comes out tomorrow from China will paint another excellent recovery story, much like last month's did as well, and that should give Asian stock markets a positive session tomorrow ahead of this long, week-long China holiday that starts on Thursday.
And you touched on the US payrolls on Friday. Have to say that the weekly ones haven't done much, have they, to push anybody towards closer to any kind of agreement on the stimulus package, even though there seem to me to be clear signs of any kind of recovery in the United States levelling off.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. What I'm seeing from those initial and continuing jobless claims is that the pace of recovery has stalled quite noticeably, but it's not enough to push the Senate Republicans into backing or coming back to the negotiating table on a follow-on fiscal stimulus package. It's sort of in a neutral no-man's land where it doesn't push sentiment one way or the other with the politicians at the moment. A poor non-farm payrolls figure on Friday, though, I believe could move that needle quite strongly.
And finally, Jeff, do you feel as though the pandemic effect is now wholly costed in to the markets, or are they still looking a long way ahead in their in what optimistic days we do have?
Oh, I believe that they're still looking a long way ahead. One of the things that I've always considered to be a threat to this great buy everything rally was the reimposition of quite aggressive movement restrictions and lockdowns in developed market economies, notably Europe and the United Kingdom at the moment are wavering on the edge of that. And I believe that that could actually slow down the recovery quite substantially, and that would have to be repriced into the market. So I think for now they're sort of being ignored, but those concerns have definitely not gone away yet.
So that would be, Jeff, a big turning point, wouldn't it, if that were to actually happen? What sort of thing would trigger that in your view? I mean, are we talking PMIs, which tend to be a good indicator? Are we talking about jobs figures? What are we actually what are we talking about? Because we can get sidetracked by the enormous amount of M&A activity going on as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, if the non-farm payrolls come in at under 500,000 on Friday, I think that will send a definite shot across the bows to the US recovery. Similarly, if we were to see Germany, France, in the United Kingdom ratchet up those movement restrictions and move almost back to a full lockdown again to control the surge in COVID-19, that would crush consumption, domestic consumption, and that would also be an extremely negative factor in the recovery trajectory. And I think then we would see stock markets in particular get repriced very, very quickly.
Jeff Halley in Singapore, thank you very much indeed.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.